It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right bay. Let's go.
Not that Mackey's
back in town.
Look out.
Look out.
Mackey is back.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. 203. McMonagle here with you on the Fan on this Celebration Thursday. 888-808-1019. Met fans, let's go. We take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Again, 888-808-1019. An elated Michael Fliegelman on the other side as the Mets continue to do what they do. It's just stupid now. It's just stupid at this point. As they've now made it to the NLCS, taking 3 of the first 4 games against Philadelphia and sending them home. And again, it's never just a ho-hum, nondescript, a couple of runs early and settle things. No. And they had opportunities. And I'll tell you this right now. As we celebrate, we'll get to all the sound. We'll play all the highlights. We'll have all fun. It's a party for Met fans. Yankee fans, it's a good win. We'll get to it. Stanton. Oh, I'm going to talk about Stanton. We got time for that. 888-808-1019. But we're going to start with the party that is what happened in Citi Field last night. And we'll play the quotes and the clips from the manager, from Lindor, from the owner. As you heard Keith give you one that, you know, talking about Lindor's contract. And I also love the quote the owner talked about trying to change the mindset of the fan base, trying to fix the negativity around this fan base. Unfortunately, the Yankee fans need it fixed as well. But I mean, just what an incredible, incredible run for this team. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, we know all of it. I want to get to you guys early at 888-808-1019. Give me a call. What can you say about this group, about this team? And I'll tell you this. I have to admit, I have had ultimate belief in this team. I even felt, if you remember, heading into the 9th inning against Milwaukee with the top of the order up, I felt like the game wasn't over. But I'll tell you, as I talked last night about the idea of finally some real expectations on the Mets, heading into this game, now you have to win the series up 2 games to 1. Now you can't go back. Now you have to win it here at Citi Field. There's pressure to do it, right? The first time in 24 years. There was a little bit of pressure to win this game. And what they've done has been so loose and been so big in the big moments, and nothing's bothered them, not falling behind, not, you know, there's nothing that could happen that could question the resolve of this team. But I have to admit, I did not like the beginning of this game for the New York Mets. I didn't. It would have been one thing if the bats were just dormant, as they have been over the first couple, you know, different times throughout this run here. But the Mets have lived on coming through in opportunities. The Mets have lived on coming through with the bases loaded in the first inning. The Mets have lived on capitalizing on mistakes, especially as Bohm is trying to give them the game early on. And when they don't come through, when Iglesias has a terrible at-bat in the first inning for the strikeout and J.D. Martinez strikes out, then you get the same thing in the second inning where, you know, Strom literally, Vientos runs almost as slow as Giancarlo Stanton. How many times have we seen, you know, him thrown out at first going, really, Vientos? I mean, seriously, we love you. You're killing it. Your OPS is through the roof in this postseason. Home runs galore. You've been great. We love you. But, man, you are slow. We've said it a bunch. I know you Mets fans, you've said it a bunch. And he has no idea what to do with the pitch. There's two outs. Throw him out at first. And you're given two opportunities in the first two innings and you squander them. I have to admit, I was a little nervous. I didn't like the feel of the beginning of this game. But ultimately, even though they come through and we'll get to the Lindor home run is an instant classic. And we talk about their nature of coming through. This game, they don't have the opportunity of the sixth inning, if not for the pitching of this team. I'm not saying it's going to get completely lost because what they've done, Manaea kind of was the story of yesterday or 2 days ago. And, you know, clearly, you know, Quintana pitched well in this game, five innings, two hits, no earned runs. Reed Garrett comes in. They go to Peterson, who's obviously a huge part of this, but the bullpen, the pitching, keeping this Philadelphia Phillies team with that lineup, especially at the top of the lineup, making Trey Turner look awful in this series, keeping really the only significant damage done by Bryce Harper, that one home run in game two, like the ability they don't have. Lindor can hit a grand slam to win the game. They can come back in this game if they give up runs. It doesn't happen without keeping the Philadelphia Phillies to one run on an infield single, an infield misplay by Vientos. Like, it is remarkable how well they have pitched as well. Yes, there's the heroics. Yes, you know, the home run from Pete Alonso and that moment and how special it was. Yes, the home run from Lindor against Atlanta. And yes, this grand slam in the sixth inning. It doesn't happen without the pitching of this team. It's remarkable the efforts they're getting from every starting pitcher. It's pretty much remarkable other than I know Diaz, and we'll get to that situation and whether or not Mendy should have brought Diaz in the ninth inning. But he scares you a bit. But ultimately, Peterson comes in and out of the bullpen and has been really your second-best pitcher of this run. We talked about what Manaea did. Quintana with five shutout innings. Like, it's just remarkable how well they have pitched. Because ultimately, we knew, and even at times throughout this remarkable season now, the offense has carried this team, and we knew what this team was going to be, an offensive-laden team, what Vientos brought to it. And once he established himself, how different he made the lineup, and all the guys, Taylor and Iglesias and all these guys who've come through, it's about the offense, but just, you know, going about their business as guys that nobody expected anything from. You've got David Peterson having a great year coming out of the bullpen to keep a vaunted Philadelphia Phillies lineup at bay. This is a guy nobody wanted to see ever again pitch for the Mets. Right? Manaea is a guy relegated to the bullpen in San Francisco and San Diego. Severino is a guy last year I said the Yankees weren't serious about winning if they continued to throw out Luis Severino. And these guys are carrying you and affording you the ability to have the moments you've had. And yet again, Lindor, I mean, there's nothing else to say, right? I don't even know what to say at this point anymore. Other than he's freaking insane. The whole team is, but Lindor is having one of those special seasons, one of those special runs that don't come around. And this, like this moment right now, Met fans, I got to be totally honest with you. I know it's about championships. And ultimately, if this run doesn't end with a parade, if it doesn't end with Lindor hoisting that trophy at the end, there'll be disappointment. There'll be upset. There'll be bitterness. There'll be sadness. There'll be everything because ultimately it is about the championship. But this moment right now and what this team continues to do. I mean, think about what they just did. Philadelphia was the best team in the National League, arguably all of Major League Baseball, for most of this season. This is a team that's played well in the postseason. Yes, they crashed and burned against Arizona last year, but this is a team that went to the World Series. This is a team that was in the NLCS last year. This is a team that came out with a purpose and a mission at the start of the year. And this is a team you just ran through and completely shut down. And while they couldn't get the big hit, you couldn't stop getting the big hits. And this run is just... it doesn't get better than right now. Enjoy it. Because we're going to find out who they play. Game 5, Friday night. Dodgers-Padres. We'll get into who I think is the better matchup. Either way, I think the Mets have an excellent opportunity to win that series and go on to the World Series. And then, quite frankly, beat whoever they see there. I think the Yankees would be the only team that would even give them competition. But whoever they see there. This is a World Series caliber team. They have an opportunity to do the what we would have considered impossible. But take a second. Look at the scene outside Citi Field last night. Breathe in that Lindor home run in a spot with the bases loaded where the Phillies bring in their closer to get through the top of the order. Now, another bases loaded situation where you get Alvarez to be unable to come through with the first at bat. And you're a ground ball away from not scoring. You're a pop-up away from still being down. And you've had this opportunity twice in the game. But the difference is your superhero, your MVP, whether he's the MVP of the league or not, this guy has consistently been absolutely remarkable since mid-June. And he hits a ball off a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, which I don't know why you just keep pounding fastballs to Lindor. You must be out of your mind right now. And he has a moment, and he hits a home run that I don't care what they do next series. Like, this is as good as it gets. This moment right now, bask in it, enjoy it, be confident moving forward. I'm not trying to downplay what can come, but this is as good as it gets right now, Mets fans. To watch them for the first time in 24 years celebrate moving on in the postseason on your field, at Citi Field, to watch them come through. Even Diaz late in the game, which we'll get to. I don't love putting Diaz in the game with a 3-run lead the way that Peterson was pitching. I understand he's the closer. I also understand you'd like to start him with an inning, and you're not going to let Peterson go through if he gets into some trouble, and then you'd have to bring in Diaz with runners on. And if Diaz is wild like he was at the start of that inning with runners on, now you have a real problem. I understand giving him the clean ninth. I probably would have stuck with Peterson, but when he walks those two first guys, yeah, you're probably nervous. And yeah, you're worried about what could happen. But ultimately, was there any doubt this team was going to win this game? Was there any doubt? The feeling inside this fan base, and the owner said it, that he's here to slay the negative tone and feeling around this franchise. And right now, if you're a Met fan, how could you possibly be negative? Like, I don't like not scoring for the first 6 or 7 innings consistently. I don't like that. It scares me. I don't love the idea of having to come up with heroics on a nightly basis, but, I mean, right now, top to bottom, there is every single guy who comes to the plate, it feels like he can do damage. And that was just, I mean, this is a moment, And that home run, in a spot where I don't know what you were thinking. I didn't necessarily think home run, but I knew he was going to do something to win the game. There was no shot in hell that Lindor was not going to do something to give them the lead. A base hit, a double in the alley. I didn't know he was going to turn on a fastball and send it over the right center field wall for a grand slam in a deciding game of an NLDS series against one of your bitter division rivals. I didn't know that that's how this was going to finish this series. But my God, think about where you are, Met fans. Think about where you were. Think about where you were before that meeting. Think about where you were when Lopez throws his glove in the air. Think about where you were and think about where you are. And I know you guys know I'm a big Beatle guy and a Paul McCartney guy. He has a song called Dear Boy, and there's a line in there, and it says, even when you fall in love, it won't be half as good as this. And even if you win the championship, even if this goes on to bigger and better things, like, it's hard to get better than this. Like, this is freaking unbelievable. I know you want to win a championship. It's the first time since 86. I know you want to move on to the next series, but moments like this, games like this, playoff baseball is fun. It's hard. There's nothing else to say about this team. I don't even know what to say. They just continue to come through in the biggest of moments. Even when they don't early on in the game, you know they're going to come through when it matters most. And they just took down a team who's the best team in the National League, a team that you've never played in the postseason before, but obviously you've been a rival for years, a team with a star-studded lineup, a team that was supposed to win this series. And you've sent them home in four games and got to celebrate on your field and had a signature moment that you will never forget. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls right away, Met fans. Mike in Staten Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Listen, I got to say, obviously, everything that you said, just to piggyback off of it, what is going on with the Mets is incredible. From 0-5 to start the season to under 10 games under 500 mid-season to the run they went on post-All-Star break,
yeah,
to where we are today is incredible. I mean, between Mendoza pushing the right buttons,
yeah,
between Lindor's MVP caliber season,
yep,
obviously Ohtani, but just to
doesn't
say,
matter. I mean,
really,
do we care
special
if he goes home with a trophy or not, other than the World Championship trophy or the World Series MVP trophy? Like, who cares?
Of course not. Absolutely.
I mean, the guy's just been unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And I just like to say the biggest thing is, no matter who they play in the other NLCS, the most important thing is that this team has a belief. You feel it as a fan. You feel it, the energy in the city. You feel it,
yep,
just watching them play. They truly have the belief that they can do it, and I really feel that. Who wants to play against the Mets?
Nobody.
That's the biggest thing.
Nobody.
The Padres are great.
Yep.
Dodgers have the pedigree, but who wants to play against the Mets right now?
No. Nope.
So it's just something that, lightning in a bottle, and I just feel like, you know, it's really, it's been a great run, and anything could happen at this point.
No,
so
I mean, Mike, you're 100% right. Thank you for the call. Enjoy it. Congratulations. Like, you're right. I mean, and this is just so, it's so anti-Met. Now, I'm not a Met fan. I haven't lived and died with it for the years all of you have. But I've watched. And typically, yeah, they don't have games like this. They don't have moments like this. They're not the team who squanders opportunities with the bases loaded in the first and second inning and then get more opportunities and hit a unbelievable grand slam home run to give them the win. Like that, these aren't the kind of games you go through. Your closer doesn't come in and walk the first two guys of the inning and you make it through without giving up a run, and you strike out Schwarber, who's one of the premier postseason home run hitters in recent memory. Like, these are all things that this team hasn't done, and they've done it enough already. Yeah, they still have two more rounds to go. But already, I mean, if you don't have supreme faith in this group, I don't know. They're on death's door. against Milwaukee. I mean, think about that. That's why I laugh when people say, when I was really hyped up about that Alonso home run, and people will throw all the different home runs. Oh, what about, you know, obviously the Yankee fans who are mad at me for enjoying this Met run. What about the Aaron Boone home run? What about the, you know, the Giants win the pennant? The Giants win the pennant? Ever heard of it? Like, you know, going on and on, every home run. I get it. I get it. That Pete Alonso home run, the Lindor home run, you want to call it bigger? Fine, whatever. Against the Phillies in the NLDS, the next round, it's bigger. It's whatever. It doesn't happen. If the Pete Alonso home run doesn't happen, all of these, and whatever comes next, might not happen without the Lindor home run. So I'm arguing about Aaron Judge and home runs in the wild card game. If you don't hit home runs in the wild card game, there might not be a DS to struggle in or CS to struggle in. Every one of these moments are huge, from the Lindor grand slam to the home run from Alonso. Hell, let's be fair. To the Vientos home run that even happened in a loss. You have no business hitting in that home run. You have no business getting back into that game. Who do the Mets think they are? Like, honestly, who the hell does this team think they are? You can't consistently do this. And yet here we are. Another night to celebrate, a huge moment. You get to watch the team pop the champagne again. You get to watch the manager give a speech again. You get to watch the owner again with his glasses on. You see Pete doing interviews on MLB Network, looking like his doofy self with the glasses on. Like, this is, enjoy this. This is as fun and as good as it gets. And you're getting ready. And here's the best thing, right? And here's what, and I know maybe this is going to sound condescending as a Yankee fan a little bit, but here the best thing is, you bought yourself more of these. Like, this is the best. What is better than these high energy, high intensity playoff baseball games where you're, you know, on the tip of your seat, or you're standing up if you're pacing like me, the wild man. Like, every pitch you're getting amped up for. Like, you just bought yourself at least four more. You play 162. I want as many of these as I can possibly get. Even if some of them are frustrating, even if some of them piss me off, even if I can't sleep after some of them. You bought yourself four more waking up on game day morning with a team you believe in, a group that you fell in love with, and a team that's as good as anyone right now. I know people say in the National League, you don't want to play those pesky Tigers right now. They found something. They're hot. Who in the world wants to play the New York Mets, as the caller just said? Like, honestly. You could be up 4-0 in the ninth inning and be like, I don't know, it's the freaking Mets. Like, they've become that team. They have embodied the never say die, you have to get 27 outs, you can't kill us, as much as any team I can ever remember. And that's not hyperbole. Like, literally, this particular Met team over the last 2 weeks have built up a body of work and have embodied the never say die, you can't kill us attitude more than almost any team I can ever think of. And I know this is and I'm talking about, you know, the dynasty Yankees. I get that. They, you know, other than obviously some memorable moments, like, they kind of were just so good that they steamrolled through everybody. Like, the 98 Yankees had, like, one game. Game 4 against the Cleveland Indians in the ALCS that made you nervous at all. This team consistently gives you games where you're terrified in the 7th and 8th inning. And you need the heroics. And then you get them. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this. They are the embodiment of we won't be denied. And to have that, to be able to watch that on a nightly basis, to be able to root for that, to be able to enjoy this every step of the way, it's crazy. It's as much fun as you could possibly have being a baseball fan. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hello, Chris.
What's up?
Oh, man. I was there tonight, and that's the loudest I've ever heard that place. You couldn't even hear yourself.
No, I mean, the places. Listen, they're taking on the Phillies in the NLDS with an opportunity to clinch at home win a series at home for the first time in 24 years, and you get that moment. You get being down all game, frustrated all game. They can't come through with the bases loaded, which is what they do. And now you're nervous. Like for me, if they would have had a 1-2-3 first and a 1-2-3 second, I would have almost felt better. But it almost looked like, wow, for the first time, they're getting tight with the bases loaded. Hey, Iglesias, who, you know, rips a base hit up the middle every time in this situation, is swinging at curves in the dirt. Yeah. Like, I was what is going on here? If they can't come through in moments like this, especially when they're handed it by mistakes, like, this is when they kill you. And for those first two innings, I'm like, oh, boy, maybe this is not their day. And then to still get another opportunity and have Lindor just absolutely tank job. It's
that was chat.
That moment is crazy. That moment is crazy.
Yeah. I'm like you. I'm a pacer. So I couldn't sit in my seat.
Yep.
I was actually pacing around a promenade watching the game on a concession stand TV. Yeah. And I would have let Peterson in.
Yes.
I understand. But when he walked, you said slightly nervous when he walked to the first two. Yeah, I see. But slightly nervous is a bit of
a... That's a good way to put it, right?
But I got to tell you, there really is like this palpable thread of optimism to this fan base.
It's crazy.
That I really thought they were going to win both these games.
Yep.
I really did. Going into tonight, I was really confident. And I got to tell you, I was like you about the same day, early June. I thought I'd had them dead and out. Now, question is, we get to sit there, Mets fans, let's sit there, have a little snacks, have a couple of beers. Let's watch these guys beat the crap out of each other Friday night. Let them have to use one of their top starters. Both these teams only go three deep in a rotation. We have a much deeper rotation than these two teams, you know.
Yep.
Dodgers actually started a bullpen game tonight, right? San Diego went back to Cease on 3 days rest.
Mm-hmm.
So, I tell you, man, I like our chances. I'm not going to say who I want to play. I'll take on whoever wins. I think we have a shot against both these teams.
No doubt. I think I would rather, and me and Fliegelman were talking about it when I first got in, I think I'd rather play the Dodgers. The Dodgers rotation really is in tough way right now with the injuries. They don't. The back end of their rotation is not good. The lineup top heavy. I think San Diego presents a bigger issue. Their starting pitcher is a little better. Their bullpen is clearly better, and their lineup probably is 1-9 deeper. I think they scare me a little bit more than the Dodgers do. I know it's Ohtani, I know it's Mookie Betts, I get that. I still think, and especially now that Yamamoto is going to have to start Game 5 here and not be ready for Game 1, I think I would probably rather play the Dodgers. So if I'm a Met fan today, I'm celebrating and I'm not thinking about it. When I wake up Friday and I know Game 5 of the other NLDS series is playing and I'm scouting, I've got my scout hat on, I'll probably be rooting for the Dodgers. I would probably be rooting for the Dodgers. But that's always dangerous. Because then, you know, Ohtani hits a 3-run home run in the first inning and you're like, thanks, big guy. Oh, that's right, he's leading off. Well, in the 3-run home run in the third inning. Shut up, man. You know what I meant. 888-808-1019. But it's a party. We'll get to the Yankees. But it's a party for the Met fan. Yankees had a good, solid win. I know everyone's still concerned. Everyone's still worried about Aaron Judge. I'm telling you right now, I am not. Like, at all. So we'll get to that. We'll get to Giancarlo Stanton. And I never want to hear another bad word from a single Yankee fan ever again. I don't care if he strikes out 35 times in a row in June, because you've made it quite clear. You don't care if Judge hits 35 home runs in June, so why would you care that Giancarlo Stanton strikes out 35 times in June? I don't care. I never want to hear the man besmirch.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever again!
And it takes a knee of the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
2-1 to Lindor. Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night. And Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
Yeah, it's a great call. I mean, Howie is a great broadcaster, and he's had so many. I mean, you can't get more of these moments. I mean, he is just in. I mean, you want to talk about a feast? Howie's having the feast every night. Every game, there is another one of these. Even in the game they lost, you got one. Like, it's I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say. It's hard.
Did you see the picture he tweeted before the game?
No.
You should look at it. I don't even want to spoil who it is for you.
Okay. Howie Rose
relates
tweeted
to a Howie legendary call.
Okay. Howie Rose, prior to the game. Oh, look at that. Stephon Matteau was there. That is, I mean, obviously, Howie's most famous call. I mean, that's the kind of, he's having a Matteau every night. It's crazy. They can't just win a normal game. I guess game three was as close as you're going to get to it. But, like, they have to have these heroics every night, and Lindor can't even just get a single to give him a 2-1 lead. Like, it's like that wouldn't be good enough. That's not how this team does it. He's got to hit the grand slam. He's got to have that moment. And by the way, I asked Fleegs this too. I haven't seen every one of Lindor's home runs. I feel like I've seen the big ones here recently. He was so matter of fact. I don't know what. Like, it was almost like it's almost at the point where maybe he's feeling like I'm feeling, and we just expect it. Because I didn't see really a lot of enthusiasm. Clearly celebrating he did. And clearly when they won in Milwaukee, he showed a lot of it. But in the moment, around the bases, even giving the high fives after touching home plate, going back into the dugout, he was very reserved. He wasn't showing a lot of emotion. Not like, you know, exuberance, should I say. it was almost like he was like exhausted, like relieved, like I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe his back's bothering him. And think about that too. He's doing this off the injury. He couldn't play for 2 weeks practically. We weren't sure he was going to be ready for that Atlanta series. And not only has he been ready, he hits the home run that gets you into the playoffs. And now he's just hit a home run that knocked out Philadelphia. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, just why it was so just like, yeah, this is what we do. That's what it felt like. You know, the old, obviously the cliche, you act like you've been there before. Lindor acted like, you know, not only has he been here before, but it was like it didn't need, I was very, very surprised. I would have been. If it's me, I'm jumping up and down, rounding the bases.
Kind of goes to what Cohen said. Like, it's Lindor, yeah. Like they're saying that's the new standard, fans.
That's it.
Get on board, get used to it.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. That home run did not, I mean, maybe it's only the sixth inning. I mean, still, it's a pretty big freaking home run. I don't know what else to say about this team. That's why I'm, you know, letting you guys do it for me. I don't know what else to say. And for the Yankee fans who are hating on me or hating on, you know, all the love they're getting, like, they're not just winning. They're not, this isn't just like, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm thrilled about last night. I can't wait for tonight. Cole on the mound. Let's end this series in Kansas City. I love the Stanton home run. The bullpen's been excellent. I've been dying on that Clay Holmes hill all year long to see him pitch like this in the postseason. I'm freaking thrilled. But like, if the Mets were winning like the Yankees were winning, it wouldn't be like this. It would be great. It'd be like, oh my God, they're moving on. But it's heroics every night. It's on another level. Plus, let's be fair, the competition's completely different. I'm not trying to knock the Royals. They're a good little team. They have just enough in key spots that they provide a potential postseason difficult matchup for the New York Yankees. But they're not a great team. Philadelphia is a really good freaking team. The National League, whoever they play next, is a real freaking good team. This is just, it's, we haven't seen, it's hard to explain what's going on right now with the Mets. Demetrius and Rutherford, what's up, Demetrius?
What's up, man? What's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for letting me talk for, I got 2 points.
Yeah.
I'm a big Yankee fan, and listen, want to congratulate the Mets fan base. I work with a lot of Mets fans, and, you know, I'm stoked for them, man. Not for nothing, like I said, they got something really special going on.
Yep.
But let me tell you something. Like you said it before, you pretty much hit every nail on the head with what I was trying to say while I was waiting. Lindor in Atlanta. Lindor with the check swing to start the rally in Milwaukee for Alonso's home run.
Right.
Game 2 in the NLDS. Gets a single to just pass the baton for and believing in his teammates. Like, yo, let's get this done. Corvientos to tie it up in the ninth. If the bullpen didn't blow, who knows? This could have possibly been a sweep.
Sure.
And then it came in full circle with the grand slam. Like, he just pretty much, let me put the icing on the cake with this one.
Yep.
And what you just said before, it's like I was watching him, you know, trot around the bases. And I was like, yo, this is like you're a couple outs away from going to the NLCS, and he didn't show no emotions. I was like, yo, this guy's either super focused,
yeah,
or he's in pain, or he just cannot. He's like, the job's not done. You know, they say these superstar players in all these major sporting leagues, they're either two things. It's like, it's second nature to them, or they just get into this tunnel vision and they're just riding it and carrying the team on their shoulders.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. I mean, and I'm not trying to knock him. It almost felt
like, me neither.
How could you knock him? I mean, the guy's been incredible.
No, he's been incredible.
But it feels like, because I was just looking, someone posted the video of the home run, the grand slam, because, you know, it was a grand slam. The grand slam he hit against the Yankees in the ALDS in 2017. And that brought it within a run. It was 8-3. Yep. He hit a grand slam, made it 8-7. And he was pretty damn exuberant running around the bases. Like, he was pretty excited. And in this,
he's on a different player now.
Yeah.
He's on another level now.
Yeah. Well, this year, sir.
Real quick, T-Mex. And another thing that you took from me, I don't want to hear from another fellow Yankee about Stanton not showing up in the postseason. I don't care, like you said, he can strike out 100 in the season, but for some reason, if you replay and you go back to all the postseasons that he's been on, he's always showed up.
No, I mean, listen, it's not even close, and thank you for the call. They just showed he's got the highest, you know, home run percentage per at bat, the second highest next to Babe Ruth in the history of postseason play. Like, I never want to hear it again. We'll get to this later, but I don't want to hear about his contract. I don't want to hear about his inability to run, inability to play defense, clogs the bases, always hurt. I don't want to hear any of it ever again. Ever. Ever. The guy is an absolute stud when it matters. And if you're gonna be the same person who's ready to call Judge Mr. May and say no one cares about what you do in the regular season, it's about the postseason. If that's how you feel about Judge, then Stanton should be your favorite freaking player. Because we only care about the regular season when it's negative. That's it. That's all we care about. But this is Met time right now. We'll get to the Yankees in a bit. Paul in Hartford. What's up, Paul?
C-Mac. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, I'm in a hotel in New York for my wife's job. Thank God she's works in the city a lot.
Oh, nice.
Here's the bottom line, man. I'll give you a good little Yankee point at the end just to give you a little Yankee shout-out with
her. Okay.
But, dude, bottom line is we took out my nephew, my son from school. We never do that early. We got him, went down to the stadium. Dude, had an awesome, awesome afternoon. The bats, Lindor, what he's doing is absolutely amazing. I just want to focus real quick on the pitching where I was so impressed by. Quintana, dude, those were long innings when they didn't score. And he came back out and matched Suarez. And, dude, Suarez had long, long innings.
It was battling.
I'll tell you, Quintana was more crisp and got through it and at least kept that momentum going.
Yeah.
And then, dude, I'm telling you right now, Chris, when we're all that it lost a little energy in the stadium there for a minute. Reed Garrett came in, got a guy on base in between, but got a couple huge strikeouts. And then Peterson came in for 2 1/3 and got it to Diaz. Those guys, as good as the hitting has been,
100%.
The pitching is carrying the torch.
There's no doubt. You don't have opportunities to come through in the late innings if the pitching isn't doing what it's doing and shutting down guys. You need the great performance from Quintana. You need Minaya. You need, you know, Severino. You need this bullpen. Now, the bullpen's had a couple of issues, game two of this series. Diaz scared you in this one. Maton and Buto have not been as good in the postseason as they were at the end of the regular season. I think they're a bit tired, you know. Now they'll have a break before the start of the NLCS, and so the bullpen should be rested and ready to go. Everyone should be ready to go. But there's no doubt. The heroics are what's going to get remembered, and because it's the great moment. But the unsung part of this is that they kept Philadelphia to one run, one measly run on a little infield ground ball that Vientos couldn't handle. That's the one run that this Philadelphia lineup could, that's it. That's all they could muster. That's the story of this game in many, many ways. Paul in Orange County. What's up, Paul?
Yes. Yeah, hello. How are you?
Hello.
I've spoken to you a couple of times over the summer. You're great.
And, thank you, Paul.
Remember, maybe you remember me. Who do you think the Mets match up best with, the Dodgers or the Padres? Who do you think the Mets would rather play?
Thank you for the call, Paul. I asked myself that just before, and we were kind of talking it out. My initial thought, and I don't like saying this because you don't like to pick your opponent. Whoever it is, I think the Mets have a legitimately good chance against. I would rather play the Dodgers. I think I'd rather play the Dodgers. Their rotation isn't as good. It's beat up after, you know, I mean, they had a bullpen game. In this one, they managed to score some runs, and they've got a good lineup, top heavy lineup. You know, Smith is an excellent hitting catcher, so it's a little deeper than maybe I initially gave you credit for. But still, I feel like San Diego's lineup's a little bit deeper. Their bullpen is clearly more dynamic, and their starting rotation is probably a little bit deeper. And it's a little more of an atmosphere. You know, the Dodger Stadium is, you know, I know in the postseason that old cliche of leaving in the sixth inning and everything doesn't play as much, but that atmosphere in San Diego, it just feels like I would probably rather play the Dodgers. But either way, I don't think there's a specific matchup that I feel better about, especially like if you want to say, oh, the bullpen. What bullpen would you be afraid of now? I mean, Philadelphia literally had nobody to get you out. That's the other the story is the Mets pitching and the inability for Philadelphia's bullpen to get a single big out. I mean, every single time they could not get the Mets out in a big spot. They bring in their closer in the sixth inning. He can't do it. So, yeah, San Diego's bullpen's better. But right now, the Mets are on such a freaking run. I don't know if it matters. But my initial thought is Dodgers. I think if I'm a Met fan, Friday night, I would probably be quietly, you know, nothing too crazy, but I would quietly be rooting for the Dodgers to win that game. Andy in Hawaii. What's going on, Andy? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, man? Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
I just got to say I'm all alone out here. I miss the East Coast right now.
Yeah, what time is it in
Hawaii?
What time
is it? Absolutely amazing.
Where in Hawaii are you?
I'm on the Big Island.
And what time is it there right now?
Oh, man, I'm living the dream right now. It's not even 9 o'clock, and I got a whole 12-pack to go. So
there you go. So did you watch the Met game live or, yeah, work? Or, like, what happened?
No, I mean, I only get it on the radio. So I love Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
He's my favorite, but I didn't get a damn thing done at work today. Hanging on play-by-play. But I got to say, man, like Tug McGraw, you just got to believe right now. You know, it's unreal what they're putting together.
Yeah, I don't know who said it.
Shout-out to my brother Matt. He's driving trucks right now. He's the biggest Mets fan I know. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go, Matt, out in the truck. Let's. I mean, listen, for Mets fans, this is as good as it gets. Like, right now. This is euphoria, what they just did. They still have two more hills to climb, baby, but this feels pretty damn good. And, yeah, I don't know who said it. Mike, who's the one who, was that the owner who gave the line you gave to me before we came on about it used to be you got to believe and now it's keep believing?
No, it was Mendoza.
Mendoza.
And it was, I don't know if they ended up showing it on TV. It was after they went into the clubhouse, they came back out and were addressing the fans.
Oh, I got you. I do have to apologize to you Met fans. I wish I could be more up on what was said in the post game, but once the game ended, I'm super hyper focused.
I don't know if any of that even aired on SNL. Like that only been for people inside the stadium.
How was that moment being there in the stadium when Lindor hits the home run?
I mean, one of the greatest moments of my entire life. I was so confident, which is where you know me with this team. Like
I'm not a confident person.
What they're trying to say, shift the mindset. I'm trying to do that. I was so confident, as bad as they were with runners in scoring position that day.
Yeah.
And Alvarez, right before that, it's bad. Yeah. They make the pitching change. I'm confident at that point. Lindor is at the very least tying this game. And,
yes.
All right, we'll see. Then bullpen, whatever. I was so confident that he was tying that game. And the moment that ball hit the bat, I was in my regular seat. So game three, I wasn't in my regular seat. So on a couple of fly balls, judgment was a little off because it's not the angle I'm used to. But the moment he connected, I think my wife has a video. I screamed, whatever it was, because I knew.
Gone,
and then you have the moment where everybody's like waiting and like, you know, they're holding their breath, like kind of cheering.
Right.
And I'm just screaming because, I mean, worst case, if I look like an idiot, it's a sack fly or it's a double and 2 to 3 runs score.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I knew the moment he hit it.
Yeah.
Like, holy bleep, he just hit they brought in their best relief pitcher, their trade deadline acquisition.
Yep.
And Francisco Lindor just took him deep for a grand slam to put the Mets up 3 runs in the sixth.
That's crazy. No, you're right.
And now, it felt like, I know Evan tweeted it too, I felt this in the, it felt like, I was at game 6 in 06, the NLCS, and Shea shook, but Shea was an old building at that point, so joke is kind of whatever. City Field's only, if City Field or the new Yankee Stadium feel like that, it's probably not supposed to happen, but it felt like the ground was shaking.
Wow.
Just hugging random people, high five, just it was just total euphoria.
Is that the loudest you can remember it?
Oh, by far, yeah. I've been to games at Beaver Stadium where it rivals that because it's 100, 900, 10,000 people where it's designed for the sound to stay in, so a little bit different. Not baseball, because I've heard Shea get like that. Citi Field, never heard it get like that before. And then there was this weird confidence as they go through the seventh day. Until Diaz walked the second guy, there was just this confidence of, they got this.
Yep.
Like, this is, the Phillies looked kind of dejected.
Yep.
You got through the top of their order shortly after that. It felt like they had it in the bag. Diaz may just sweat a little bit, but then quickly, no, he's fine. He settled in.
Yep.
We're good to go.
Yeah, no, and it was like a switch with Diaz, too. Like, he was wild, and then suddenly he threw, like, two fastballs on the corner, and you're like, he's got it.
Yeah, thank you to Rogers kid for not being able to touch those fastballs, and then Diaz got his confidence back.
Yep. It would have been funny if Cody Clemens tied that game, though. I still would have... I wasn't rooting for it, but it would have been funny. The Mets still would have won the game. Another demon exercise, that's right. And apparently, the Mets, Mike was showing me on the picture on the scoreboard. The Mets put up on the scoreboard under Cody Clemens, knows the difference between a ball and a bat.
So they've done all year, they've been making, like, they'll make jokes about most players with that little spot.
Right.
And sometimes they'll put up, like, they'll do, you know, for the first at bat, they'll do a joke, maybe kind of troll the guy. You know, for Brandon Marsh earlier in the year, I'm sure they'd put something about, like, you know, has never heard of shampoo or soap.
Right.
And then they'll put up maybe a stat.
Doesn't know what a razor is.
Right. These two games, they've only put up positive accolades. Like, for Alec Bohm, it was, you know, a first All-Star selection this year. Brandon Marsh, you know, career high in homers for Bryce Harper, two-time NL MVP. Like, they were staying away from, like, we're not poking the bear, we're not putting up anything negative. And I looked up when Clemens came up, and it said, knows, and I got my phone out. Like, I'm trying to not look at my phone, just live in the moment.
Yeah.
But I saw, I was like, oh, I need a picture of this.
That's funny.
And I just, at that moment again, I was worried when ball four, it's maybe 10 seconds later, they put that on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Like, this is over. Like, they've got this.
The scoreboard told you.
Like, whoever that is, obviously, that runs that is
they felt comfortable
a Mets fan and knows, like, this is the time to, you know, I've held back the last 2 days, but this has to be said.
That's funny. I mean, it's just right now this team knows no end in sight for this Met team. It's crazy what's going on. You're right. They bring in their best reliever. And now, from your seat, I don't know if you could tell, watching on TV, you know it's in the gap. Like, even if it's not gone, not even sacrifice fly, you know it's either a home run or a double.
Right, because where the right outfielders were playing, they're not chasing
it
down.
They had no chance of chasing it down. So you know they're taking the lead. They're scoring probably three, because I think everyone knew that was the case off the bat. So you knew it was a significant hit. And then watching it carry over into the bullpen, and I'm just watching the highlight again, Lindor's casual trot around the bases, it's almost more badass.
Like, it is. And so I wonder if it for him, like, he's had great moments before, but, like, again, not really relatable, but, like, for me, it was, and I would imagine a lot of fans, it was an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
I wonder if that even hit for as many big moments as they've had this year and he's had, doing something like that, hitting a grand slam when your team has just been pitiful with runners in scoring position for the last 2 hours.
Yeah.
To do that, to hit a moonshot.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if, like, that just for him, like, maybe he was in a state of shock.
Maybe.
Just for a second.
I don't know. But, like, Pete Alonso hit that ball in Milwaukee immediately, like, shouted before anyone else knew it was gone. Like, even Vientos, I mean, you got to, and he's just a matter of fact. Even that off of the bat, like, he casually just looked at it. Like, it was very, I mean, it was badass, man. Lindor is something else right now. This Met team is something else. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable?
incredible.
Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.